and remain standing, and let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse number 7 today. The title of this morning's message is The Measure of Man. The Measure of Man. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, you can follow along on the screen behind me here. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 7. Excited to continue our series through the book of 2 Corinthians. We're getting to the last few chapters here. Verse 7 begins, "Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." Verse 8, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present." Verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Would you jump down to verse 17 with me? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 17. "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And then verse 18, our key verse for today. "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Lee, would you pray for us? Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm preaching on this topic today, the measure of man. You know, as Christians, we have a really bad habit of comparing ourselves to other people. And God warns us against this in his word, that we will not be measured by the standard of others or even our own standard, but the measure of mankind is ultimately the Lord. Now, I want to give you some context again, because this is very important for our text today. False teachers had infiltrated the church in Corinth. They began spreading a false gospel. And the only way for them to be able to deceive the Corinthians was to get them to stop believing the Apostle Paul. So if they could get the congregation to doubt Paul's integrity or to doubt his authority, they might be able to get them to doubt his teaching. So here's what they do. These wicked men begin a smear campaign to call into question the reputation of Paul. He is slandered, he's vilified, and he's ridiculed. Paul writes here in this passage that ultimately what matters is not what others think of us, or even what we think of ourselves, but what does the Lord think? I ask you this morning, how do you measure yourself? How do you measure your success, your spirituality, your character, your walk with Jesus? What standard do you use? Others? Yourself? Or the Lord? It's my hope this morning that every believer here would leave this place caring more about the approval of God than anyone else, including yourself. We're going to look at three standards or three tests that people use today: the outward, the inward, and the upward test. All right? The outward, the inward, and the upward. Let's start with number one. The first thing we see is the outward test. Okay? Look at verse 7 with me. At the beginning of verse 7, Paul asks this question. "Do ye look on things after the outward appearance?" You see, they were saying, look at this guy on the outside. He's nothing. How could you follow the Apostle Paul? And he says, wait a second. Is your standard, I mean, is the way that you're measuring me, are you just looking at things from the outward appearance? Here's what this test is all about. The outward test is what others think about us, how others see us. And that's what the Corinthians began to do. They were only looking at outward appearances, and by outward appearances, Paul was weak and unimpressive. Let me give you a description. This is a historical writing from a Christian author. This isn't a Bible verse, okay? So we can't trust it completely, but it does give us an idea of what Paul could have looked like. Here's what he says, and this is someone who followed or believed the teachings of Paul, about from 200 AD. A man of small stature with a bald head, crooked legs, in a good state of body, with eyebrows meeting and a nose somewhat hooked. That was an early Christian's description of the Apostle Paul. And so here's what the false teachers were doing in the church. They were literally judging Paul by the way he looked, his outward appearance. And if you want to use that test against Paul, guess what? He did not pass the outward test. If Paul's life and ministry was measured by how others saw him, he would have been a failure. Look at verse 10. Here's what they were saying about him. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Oh, yeah. The guy sounds tough. I mean, he's strong behind his little pen, but just look at the guy. I mean, how could you take him seriously? If we could somehow go back and I were to be able to line up for you in Paul's time, just 10 men, and then ask you, and Paul was in that lineup, okay, which of these guys was the author of 13 books of the New Testament, the greatest missionary to ever live, whom they said spoke as a god? Which one was he? I doubt that most of us would truly pick the right guy. There are some people who live and die by the outward test, what others think of them. They live for the approval of others, and they die by the disapproval of others. And there are some here who maybe you stay up at night thinking about what others think of you. And you may act like you don't care. And maybe there's somebody here who's like, I don't care what others think about me, when deep down you do. So how much do you care about what others think? How much time do you spend thinking about it? Can I tell you today, you're not using the right test. Praise the Lord that what others think of us is not the measuring rod. It's not the standard that God uses. Amen to that? The outward test, if you want to judge somebody, all right, the outward test is the wrong standard because it's deceptive. Let me give you an example. There's a guy in the Old Testament, the first king of Israel. What was his name? Somebody now. All right, we're going back to Sunday school here, okay? The first king of Israel was named Saul. That's right. Saul passed the outward test. Listen to a description of this guy from 1 Samuel 9, verse number 2. It says, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So this is a good-looking young man who's taller than everybody else in the kingdom, and he's strong. Now, nobody bothered to ask what his character was like, what his integrity was like, what his obedience was like, what his faithfulness was like, but man, does he look like a good king. And here's what happens when the people are presented with Saul in 1 Samuel 10, verse 24. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. Wait a second. None like him, how? In purity? No. In holiness? No. In faithfulness? No. There's nobody that looks like him. And the people shouted and said, God save the king. He passed the outward test, but he failed God's test. And eventually the Lord would take the kingdom away from him. And after Saul, he would give it to a man named, thank you, all three of you over here on the left side, right side, what's up today, okay? After Saul, there was King Michael, who was it? David, that's right, it was King David. Now, let's compare a little bit. Saul passed the outward test, the look test. David, did he pass the outward test? No, he didn't. You see, when the prophet Samuel, the one who anointed Saul, was sent to a guy named Jesse's house, and the Lord told him one of his sons is going to be the next king, he walks into the house, and the firstborn son of Jesse passes before Samuel. His name's Eliab. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. You see what Samuel's doing? He's making the same mistake that they made with King Saul. They looked on the outward appearance, and here he is for the next king, and he says, look at this guy. Well, that's what they did with Saul. How did that work out? Not very good. Surely this is the Lord's anointed, and God says, no, it's not. He may have passed the outward test, but verse 7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Don't look on the outward, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. And how do we see? For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the what? Heart. On the heart. And David, who wasn't even in the house. You know why he wasn't in the house? Because he didn't pass the outward test. No, they brought Eliab before him, and then the second son, the third son, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, and Samuel said, is that it? You got any more? He's like, I got one more. Can't be that guy, though. He's out with the sheep. And then they brought David in, and what do you know? Even though he didn't pass this outward standard of man, David was far from perfect. He failed the outward test, but to the Lord he was faithful. I think about some people in the New Testament who were really good at passing the outward test. You want to know why this test is problematic? Because it's easy to clean up the outside. It's really easy to clean up the outside. Just think about a group of people known as the Pharisees in Jesus' time. They were really good at the outward test. They passed with flying colors. In Matthew 23, verse 25, Jesus calls them out and says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Verse 29, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous. They passed the test unto men, but to God within, he says, you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. I say again, this test is really easy to cheat on, because it's pretty easy just to clean up the outside. Is that how God measures us? I don't think so. There's a prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Jeremiah. If you gave him the outward test, oh, he would have flunked. You see, Jeremiah was tasked with preaching a message of judgment to the nation of Judah, a hard message for a hardened people. After about 40 years of preaching, at best, Jeremiah had two converts. 40 years and two converts. So, Jeremiah, on the outward, we would say he failed. But that's not God's standard. You know, some of the biggest discouragements that pastors face in ministry is when they start looking outwardly at the ministries of other people, and churches can do this too, and they become discouraged. Let me tell you about a preacher who preached for 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness, and at the end of 120 years, his only converts were his own family. You know who I'm talking about? Noah. And by the outward test, Noah failed. You want to talk about a failure? From the outside, this guy just didn't measure up. But the Lord, listen to me, doesn't measure us by success. His scale, his ruler is faithfulness. And faithfulness can't always be seen on an Excel spreadsheet or in results, but it is always seen by the Lord. Here's the point. In the end, it doesn't matter what others think. So what if I cared less about what others think and started caring more about what God thinks of my life? How much more joy would you have if you truly believe the Lord's approval is the only one that matters? You know, we can fool others. We can clean up the outside. But we can't fool the Lord. You know, we make judgments all the time about someone's walk with Christ. And we can do that to a degree. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit, right? But we can't really judge someone's faithfulness because man looks on the outward appearance while God looks on the what? The heart. Ultimately, it doesn't matter how others judge you or even how you judge yourself. God is the judge of the universe, and the Bible says he will do right. You know, Sierra and I went to high school with some kids who had that. It was kind of a catchy tattoo at the time. It was the tattoo that said, "Only God can judge me." And maybe you have that tattoo. I don't know. And you have your reasons, but I think one of them got on the neck right here. Only God can judge me. And one time I was talking to a guy who had that tattoo who professed to be a Christian, but he was living his life as anything but a Christian. I just said, "What's, you know, man, aren't you a follower of Jesus? Should you be acting like that, talking like that?" It was just a one-on-one conversation. And he kind of referenced his tattoo. "Only God can judge me." And I said, "Yeah, man, the scary thing is, though, he will. He will." You know that phrase, that statement, "Only God can judge me"? It's really not even true. I mean, people judge you all the time. And if you're honest, you make judgments about others all the time. So we are judged by more than just God. But the point is that even though we may be judged by others, the judgment that matters is not yours, it's not mine, but the Lord's. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." That means no matter what you are on the outside, everything that's been concealed, every secret, God will test it all. And by the way, his test is always accurate. His standard is always true. There's a man by the name of Martin Luther who said this, "If the sins to my heart were published to the world, I would deserve the gallows. To be sure, the world now respects me, but if it really knew me, it would spit on me." You know what he's saying? Just because I passed the outward test, that doesn't matter. You know, my wife, who knows me better than any human being on this planet still doesn't know what all's in my heart. Only God knows. And one day, when you stand before Jesus, nobody's going to ask, what did your friends think? What did your family think? What did your church think? What did your coworkers think? No, the only thing that's going to matter is, what does Jesus know? And the truth is, if you are honoring the Lord, it doesn't matter what others think. Oh, and by the way, if you're dishonoring the Lord, it doesn't matter what others think. That's the outward test. Now let's look at the inward test. The inward test. Look at verse 12, and we see the inward test. It says this, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." This is the inward test. "But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Now, what's this test all about? This test is about what we think of ourselves. Now, those false teachers in Corinth, they had nothing but bad to say about Paul because of his outward appearances, but they had nothing but good to say about themselves. It says they commended themselves. That means they're self-endorsing. It would be like somebody filling out a job application and then putting their own name as a reference for themselves. Like I most definitely recommend me for this position, all right? It means to be self-boasting, self-promoting. This is the inward test. What do I think about myself? And how did they gauge how they were doing? Verse 12, look there again. It tells us, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. They compared themselves with others. And look at the end of this verse. What does God say about people who do that? They are not what? Wise. They are not wise. How foolish that as Christians, we fall into this trap of comparison. And here's what the standard becomes. Please don't miss this, okay? What we think of ourselves based on how we compare to others. So the outward test is what others think of me, and the inward test is what I think of myself based on how I compare to others. Ultimately, your evaluation of yourself is as irrelevant as anyone else's, because we are not our own judge. You don't set the standard. And praise God for that. Did you catch how Paul began verse 12? Look there one more time. He says, "For we dare not." Whoa. When God in his holy word says, "You better not," or "Don't you dare do something," then we probably ought to pay attention to what he's saying. And he says, "Don't you dare commend yourself or compare yourself to others." Here's why that standard is so flawed. You can always find somebody worse than you, and you can always find somebody better than you. And we might say, well, it doesn't matter what others think. What matters is what you think about yourself. Nope, it's not. And let me tell you why. Have you ever been wrong before? Yeah, and guess how many times you're wrong about yourself? I would say a lot more than you realize. Now, our world will tell us the most important thing is what you think about yourself. Do you love yourself enough? Are you proud of yourself? Do you accomplish what you wanted to accomplish? Are you happy with yourself? Do you approve of your own self? But that's not it, because you and I are a flawed standard. Even our own estimation of ourselves is usually wrong. That's why we should not trust the inward test. We are almost always too hard or too easy on ourselves. It's the Goldilocks problem, all right? It's too hot or it's too cold. It's too hard or it's too soft. It's like we're walking on this narrow path, and this narrow path is the truth of who we are. And on both sides, we have these ditches. And this ditch over here says, I'm worthless, I'm nothing, God can never use me. And then this ditch over here says, boy, oh boy, am I something. And I'm really somebody. Both ditches are wrong. And if you are not careful, Christian, you will find yourself in one ditch or the other. And we get there by comparing ourselves among ourselves. Let's start with the ditch on this side. When you compare yourself with others, one possibility is you can start to think, my life is terrible, everyone has it better than me, and I'm worthless. Remember King Saul, that guy? You know, he made the mistake of comparing himself, and I believe it was the beginning of the end of his kingdom for doing so. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, it says this, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? I might as well give him the kingdom. And that was the beginning of the end when Saul started to compare himself with David. What does that look like today? I wish I had their job. I wish I looked like them. I wish I weighed what they did. I wish I drove their car. I wish I was as smart. I wish I lived in their house. I wish I had their grades. I wish I was as spiritual. I wish I had their relationship. And God says, don't you dare compare yourself to others. Because that person you think has it all together on the outside, they pass the outward test, that person you so desperately want to be like may be the most miserable person on earth. And if only, I don't know, I mean, if only there was a place that existed where we were constantly bombarded with the very best of people's lives and it was on display for us 24/7. Oh, there is a place like that? Oh, social media, that's right. Isn't that exactly what happens? We see the very best, a literal snapshot of someone's life and think, man. And it leads to discontentment, and it leads to envy, and it leads to covetousness, and it leads to bitterness, and it leads to unthankfulness toward your God. Because I wish I was like them. It's pretty incredible that young people who spend time on social media, studies have found, are 3 times more likely to experience depression. One study listed on the National Library of Medicine, which involved more than 55,000 participants, adolescents aged 10 to 19, here's what they found. The risk of depression increased by 13%, listen, by 13%, for each hour increase social media use in adolescence. So for every additional hour that 10 to 19-year-olds spent on social media, their risk of depression increased by 13%, by 13%, by 13%. I mean, where else can you go to be constantly reminded that your life just stinks? It's not as good as everybody else's. Quit measuring your worth based on what other people are doing. You want me to give you a perfect formula for discouragement? Keep comparing yourself to others, and you will end up in the ditch Teddy Roosevelt rightly said, comparison is the thief of joy. So that's one side. What about the other side? Now if we slide down into this ditch, man, I'm really something. And how do we come to that conclusion? By comparing ourselves to others. By the way, you can do both. Well, one day you can be in this ditch as a Christian, and the next day you could be in this ditch, and both are wrong. So how are you doing? Well, it depends who I compare myself with. If I look one way, I'm doing pretty bad. If I look the other way, no offense, right side, okay, but I'm doing pretty good. It's a terrible standard because it's ever-changing. I was watching some NBA highlights the other day with my boys, and one of my sons said, Dad, what player is that? Who is that? And I recognized the player. He just got kind of a unique look. I said, oh, that's Bol Bol. First name Bol, last name Bol, B-O-L, B-O-L, Bol Bol. And he said, Dad, is he any good? And I went, eh, not really. Now, let me tell you this. Bol Bol is 7'3". He's been in the NBA for 6 years, playing against the greatest basketball competition on earth for 6 years, good enough to be drafted into the NBA, 7'3", from Sudan. His father was an NBA player as well. His wingspan is 7'8". And my son asked, Dad, is he any good? And I said, eh, not really. Why would I say such a thing? Well, I looked up his stats. He averages 3 points a game and 1.5 rebounds. 1.5. He's 7'3" and averages 1.5 rebounds. And so by that standard, what standard? The National Basketball Association, eh, not really that good. Now, in a couple weeks, we're going to have a men's basketball night over at Everett's. And if Bol Bol just happened to be in Circleville and decided to swing by Everett's to play with us, now I'd put Dave Fools on him. He could lock him down for sure, all right? But the rest of us, he would mop the floor with us. And by that standard, 30 and 40-year-old Baptist, okay, is he any good? Yeah, he's good. He's a professional basketball player. He's 7'3", 7'8" wingspan. He gets 1.5 rebounds a game. Yeah, he's good. See the problem? It's a terrible standard because it's ever changing. And when we judge ourselves, listen to me, when we judge ourselves among ourselves, the standard always changes because I can always find someone better, and usually I can find someone that I feel is worse. You know that a couple summers ago, I ran a 5K race. Let me step over here in this ditch here. I ran a 5K race in town, and I got second place in a 5K race. Thank you, all right, thank you. Second place in a 5K. I got second place in a 5K out of all the men in the race. I got second place in a 5K out of all the men in my age group. I got second place in a 5K out of all the men in my age group, and there were just two of us. You see how the standard changes? Comparison is foolish. God says, don't you dare. Because you will end up with a bad measurement. The Pharisee in Luke 18 learned the foolishness of comparison. In Luke 18, verse 10, it says this. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now, right off the bat, we have an outward test. Two go up, one's a Pharisee, the other's a publican. One passes the outward test immediately, a religious ruler, and the other fails, a tax collector, the scum of Israel. They both go up to the temple. Verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Which ditch do you think he's in? Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Then he begins to give God his resume. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Oh, he's passing the inward test, all right. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, we see God's judgment, not man's, not the outward, not the inward, but man's. I tell you this, this man went down into his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Man, that Pharisee passed the inward test because he himself is the one who set the standard. He looked great, but the Lord didn't use the same standard. And God declared that the Pharisee walked away from the temple unforgiven and still carrying his sins. And yet the publican, who by outward appearances was as wicked as they come, cried out, Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God made him righteous. Often we are very ready to commend ourselves. I mean, it's like we create the test, and then we take the test, and then we give ourselves a gold star for passing the test, right? Now, I would hope that most people in this room don't act like the Pharisee out loud. I mean, I hope we would shame a person for such pride. Most don't do it publicly, but do you do it privately in your own mind? And you start to think, man, I'm doing pretty good. And you're feeling like a really fine, outstanding spiritual Christian because you compare yourself with other Christians in your group. And it's like you're all in the same boat, and you're the best looking one in the boat, but the entire boat's ugly. And so you're the prettiest ugly person that's in there. And it's like, wow, you did it. Christians, we better never think that we've somehow arrived, because we haven't. We haven't. Because that's not the yardstick that we are to use, my friend. No, this is one of the tragedies of the day. A person can be in a cold church and grow cold himself, and yet not be conscious of it because he compares himself with the cold Christians around him. It's not a good standard. Instead of looking here and coming to God's standard, because it's a whole lot easier for me to look at you or to look at you and make a judgment about myself, but you're not my standard. The inward test isn't reliable because we're usually wrong one way or the other. You know, there were a few churches that Jesus wrote to in the book of Revelation. Some of them thought they passed the test. Jesus said otherwise. In Revelation 2, verse number 9, writing to the church at Smyrna, he says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. On the outside, they were poor. But notice God's judgment of them. But thou art rich. On the outside, you look poor. And truly, in a way, you are. But God's standard, his measurement of them, is that you are so rich. On the other hand, in the next chapter, Revelation 3, Jesus writes to the church at Laodicea. And in verse number 17 of chapter 3, Jesus says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing. That's how they measured themselves. Who were they looking at? Surely not Jesus. They were probably looking at some of the other churches, and they said, we have need of nothing. We are rich. And Jesus says, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You think you're rich? You're not. Back in verse 15, Jesus said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Amazing. The church that thought it was poor, Jesus considered rich, and the church that boasted of its wealth, he declared, you are poor. You think you're hot stuff. And Jesus might say, you're lukewarm. Don't trust the inward test. We have the outward, the inward, lastly, upward, and I'll be done. The upward test. Look at verse 18. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The outward test is who others think we are. The inward test is who you think you are. And the upward test is who God knows you are. Let me say that again. The outward test is who others think you are. The inward test is who you think you are. The upward test is who God knows you are. Now you tell me, which one of those actually matters? How others evaluate us, how we evaluate ourselves, or how God evaluates us? Not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Paul says it's the Lord's commendation that counts, not our own and not the approval of others. A man is really approved when the Lord thinks well of him, not when he thinks well of himself or when others think well of him. Now, we can commend ourselves, that's the inward test, or we can be commended by others, that's the outward test, and still not deserve the commendation of God. It doesn't matter how you measure yourself. It doesn't matter how others measure you. How does God measure you? The measure of who I am is not based on what other people think of me. It's not even based on what I think of myself. Hear me this morning. The measure of man is who God knows that I am. Christ Jesus and his word is our standard. And if you use any other scale, if you use any other test, if you use any other standard, your results will always be inaccurate. You see, ultimately, the value and meaning of anything in life depends on how the Lord sees it. It's God's judgment that matters. Do you really believe that? Do you live your life like that? Or are you kept up at night because you just can't get over what somebody else might be thinking of you? And by the way, don't trust your own opinion. You ever been wrong before? You know how wrong you are about yourself? How often? A lot more than you think. It changes. So what is God's standard? When we stand before the measurement, the judgment of God, how do we start out? Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us measure up to God's standard. But when we come to Jesus as broken sinners and put our faith in him, God's measurement of us changes. He exchanges my sin for his righteousness. How does God measure me? By God's standard, by his measurement, I am created and designed by God. His son Jesus died not just for me, but for everybody in this world. so that I could be forgiven. He redeemed me, gave me an inheritance. I am adopted. He made me his child. I'm not falling into this ditch. I'm standing on the truth. This is what God says. Now, it doesn't matter what you think or even what I think. He says, I am accepted, I am beloved, I am holy, I am made clean, I am blameless before him, I am sealed and eternally secure, I am at peace with God. And no matter what anybody else thinks, that's good enough for me. Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand, if you would bow with me for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Christian, I don't want to just say young person, because adults struggle with this too. Are you just living in fear of what other people think of you? And you might be able to fool me and act like you don't care. But deep down, the Lord sees you probably do. What test are you using this morning? Have you been living by this outward test, what others think of you? Maybe you don't care. You've been basing your life off of the inward test, what I think of myself. That's what really matters, Pastor Nathan. No, it doesn't, because you are a flawed standard. God says, don't you dare compare yourself to somebody else. Are you using the upward test? As I said at the beginning of the message, it's my hope that every Christian would leave this room believing that the approval of God matters more than the approval of anyone else. Do you truly believe that? Do you live like that? Friend, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you don't measure up to God's standard. You fall short of his glory. We are all sinners. But if you will turn in humbleness to Jesus Christ and put your faith in him, he will save you. He will forgive you. He will make you his child. And no matter what anybody else thinks, that's going to be good enough. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for your pure and holy judgment. Lord, help us to live our lives for your approval, not the approval of others or even our own approval. Let us measure ourselves by your Son and by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.